you're more comfortable, there is some room on the bench back there, but you're work, make yourself at home. We welcome all the visitors that are here with us this morning. The house is well filled, and it's good to worship together in a place like this with other fellow believers, and especially as we think about this week and the Christmas season. I think it was Nick there in the reading who was saying about it's a time of worship. And so I invite us to just worship in every aspect of the service, but even through the message here this morning. Jesus is worthy of our praise. God is a God that is perfect and holy, and He designed the salvation plan for us in sending Jesus, and He is worthy of our praise and worship this morning. So I do also extend a Merry Christmas to each one of you all. And as you go throughout this week, keep in mind the wonderful things that Jesus has done for us. So 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, I just had a shorter message because of Virgil sharing some of his time out west. And I talked a little bit about manifestation and the blessing of that, that God wants to make His plans, His will, His life real and personal to us. And in thinking about that, I just had to think some of what Jesus manifested whenever He came to earth, and what thinking about Christmas this week. So I kind of titled the message, Jesus Manifestations. Some of the things, a few things He manifested, He made alive and real by coming to earth. And then through that, in the salvation plan, He makes that real and alive in our lives. So we looked a little bit about what is the good. There is wrong side. People without Christ, they do go their humanistic ways of wanting things to be manifested in their lives. But God in the Christian life wants to make things manifested in our lives. And the blessing of that and how God wants to do to make Himself personal and real to us by manifesting Himself in our life. What does manifestation mean? It is to make open, openly known, plain or clear. And so in thinking about that, when Jesus manifests Himself, He becomes personal and real to us as our Savior, as our Lord. So I just want to encourage us as we think about this week, and we celebrate Jesus and Him being manifested. And why did He do that? And if you look in 1 John 3, it gives a reason why He came to manifest Himself on this earth here. And it's to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. He says in 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. But for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. It's not just so He can lay aside the works of the devil, so He can kind of calm down the works of the devil. It says so He can destroy the works of the devil. That is why Jesus came and manifested in through a human body. He was all man, but He was all God. And He was manifested in a way so He can destroy the works of the devil. It's something to be thankful for. It's something to worship God for. It's something that we can praise Him for. So this week, let's celebrate what Jesus has done for us. And also, as I was thinking about Jesus and how He manifests Himself to us through human body, how God sent His Son in that form, I just had to think also of the three gifts that the wise men brought to worship Him. And if you turn to Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 and 9 through 11, it talks about those gifts. And those three gifts I also apply to the 3 points of my message, and that is Jesus manifested God to us, and Jesus manifested true servanthood, and Jesus manifested true love. And I applied also those three gifts to those 3 points of the message. Matthew 2, 1 through 3. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And then the next several verses, it goes through the process of Herod desperately trying to find out where this new king was. He felt threatened, he felt angry, and he was going to deal with this. But he thought of a plan. So jump down then to the end of, I think, verse 7 and 8. He came to the wise men and told his plan. He's like, hey, I want you to go and tell me, go and find him and come back and tell me where he is. So in his words, worship him, but he had a hidden plan. And then verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So as we see those three gifts, they represent three things. Gold, that he was God. He was God in human flesh. Frankincense, it was an incense. It was an aroma. And that was to represent him as he was the priest. But I place that in the place of he was a true servant. As a priest, he served. He is interceding for us today. He is showing us what servanthood looks like. And then myrrh, that is to represent herbs for burial and his death, and how he represented true love to us. God representing kingship. He was God, and he was also a priest, and he was also showing us what true love is. So as we think here now next of Jesus manifested God to us, the gift of gold representing his kingship and that he is God. I would like to just sing the song out of the red book there, the Mennonite hymnal, 111. It's O Come Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And I just was thinking of that song as I thought about this aspect of Jesus manifesting God to us. Who is God? And Jesus is God, but he also represented God the Father to us. And so you can turn to number 111. I'm going to blow the pitch on that one then. Let me just find it. Okay, you want to blow that pitch. We'll sing 1, 3, and 5. Ooh, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that thank you. Is that our heart's cry as we go throughout this next week? O come, Emmanuel, God with us. What a wonderful promise and what a wonderful manifestation that Jesus brought to us, that He is God and who God the Father is, and that He wants to have a personal relationship with us. This was God with us, also showing us God the Father, manifesting His will, His word, and who He is. And with the Holy Spirit, it's God in us, His very life in us. In Matthew 1:23, is that verse there. It says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. John 20, verse 22. "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Jesus saying, "I want the very life of God in you through the Holy Ghost." Jesus manifested the heavenly kingdom to us. Jesus fulfilled this plan so the heavenly kingdom could be manifested inside of us. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is come when he walked throughout the land. And then when he went away, he sent the comforter so the heavenly kingdom could be inside of us. Mark 1:15, and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." And Luke 17:21, "Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." I believe as we think about the Jesus manifesting the kingdom, the God's kingdom, the heavenly kingdom, it's taking on God's eyes. It's seeing the world through the eyes of God. It's taking on God's value system. What does God value? How does He approach living life here? It's as we have the kingdom of God in us, it is having God's value, His view of the things around us. In Jesus showing us who God is, He manifested God's light to us. God is light. It says that Jesus showed the world a great light. If you would look at Matthew 4:16, says that the people were living in darkness. And so when Jesus came, He manifested a great light. It was God's light, so that it cast out the darkness. And I believe that because of that, we have something worth praising God for this coming week, especially, but throughout every day of our lives. Matthew 4:16, "The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up." Next is Jesus manifested true servanthood. And as we think about the gift of frankincense that the wise men brought, the frankincense was an incense. It was aroma. It said it was also, a herb for healing. And it was represented priesthood. And in Hebrews, it says how Jesus was the great high priest, and how He is also sitting on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, the awesome work of the perfect high priest. And I believe Jesus manifested true servanthood. That gift of frankincense was perfect for His life. I would like to sing, if we know this song, in Zion's Praise 110, the Christmas song. Do you know that song, Grant? If not, we can sing another one. But I like the words of this song in 110 of the Zion's Praise. Do you know this one?
No, I don't.
Nikki slipped out. Yo, the ladies are saying that they know it. So he'll give a pitch. Let's stand to sing this one so we don't get too comfortable in our spots here. Number 110 is Zion's Praise, a Christmas song. And you ladies, if you can lead out with this one. I like the words of it.
The shepherds were watching their flocks in the night. The hills were aglow with a wonderful sight. From heaven the angels descended to tell the sweet perfect story we all love so well. Christ the Savior is Bethlehem plain, Christ the Savior is born. Oh, tell me the news of the wonderful birth. The babe in the stall is the Lord of the earth. Christ the Savior is born. Bethlehem plain, Christ the Savior is born. The news that the angel once brought to the earth, a blessing from heaven, this wonderful birth, a message from heaven, a message of love, is still sounding out from the Father above. Christ the Savior is
seated. As we think about how Jesus manifested true servanthood, there says in that last verse, he knows all our sorrows, he hears when we pray, he loves, he helps us, he hears when we call, he leads and he teaches us, cares lest we fall. Jesus represented true. He manifested true servanthood to us when he came to this earth. So let's do well in celebrating Jesus, who taught us how to serve well. He served with humility. And I just thought about humility. And just from the very start, he represented humility. Who can come in a more humble, humiliating way? And really, just wrapped in strips of cloth. They didn't have room in the inn, born in a animal stable. The only place to lay him was in the cow feeder. When I walk out of the barn where we have our animals, I'm there washing off my boots, making sure I get all the crud off of me. But that's where Jesus was born. He started right out from the get-go a wanting to represent true servanthood. He said, "I'm here to serve." He said in the gospel, he said, "Whoever is leading out, be a servant." He came with humility. He served to help others. He served to better others' lives. He served by giving up himself for others. He gave up all of heaven to come and to show us, manifest to us what true servanthood looked like. Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manners of sickness and all manners of diseases among the people. That was one of the missions of Jesus while he was here, was to start out showing the world who he was. He said, I was in heaven. I had everything at my hands. He said, I was God's son. He said, I am God. And he said, I'm willing to come down here and just give to you all. Before you even are willing to follow me, he said, I'm here because I care about you. I want to better your lives. Jesus manifested well to us so that we can do well and so we can experience him well. That's why Jesus wants to manifest who he is, who God is, and what his will and plan is for us. Jesus lived out true servanthood to us right from the very start. Everything he did was so he could identify with all for the betterment of each life. He lived his life for others by serving them. And lastly, Jesus manifested true love. As I thought about true love, and I thought about that gift of myrrh, it was to represent his death, his burial. He represented, manifested to us true love, what that looked like by giving up his very life. That gift of myrrh fit him well. And as I thought about the gift of love, I was like, what song do I sing about? And my wife and I were talking a little bit. We were like, the song, The Way in a Manger, it might be a child song, but I believe it also is good for us as adults to think about the gift of love. Zion's Praise 123 is a song, Way in a Manger. Not all the children are in here, but maybe the younger ones that aren't in class can enjoy the song too. But 123, it says there, the last verse, be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. That's what he manifested who he was. He said, I'm here for you always. I will represent true love to you. If we just start here with that song, do you have a pitch on that one? We could probably sing it by memory.
Ooh, away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus eye down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but
perfect love. Jesus represented perfect love to us. And as you look throughout the different Christmas songs, it just gives a picture of why he came to just shed his love to us throughout our lives, into our hearts, and ultimately so we can be with him for eternity someday. Jesus did everything for us to succeed for eternity. Before we even turned to him, before we even first loved him, he first loved us. He grew. He died in our... He came as a baby to show us love. He grew and he died in our place to redeem us. He rose again to intercede for us, all to manifest his love for us. As I thought about love, I had to think of the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13. If you want to turn there, there's just several verses, 4 through 7, just gives a picture of true love, what true love is. And Jesus showed that in every aspect of his life while he was here on earth. Jesus showed us that true love is relationship. And as I thought about how true love is relationship and Jesus manifesting that to us, he worked out and implemented the salvation plan. And that salvation plan that redeems us, buys us back from the grip of Satan, from the control of Satan. And then he didn't only just extend it to the Jews and to certain people, he extended it for every race, every single person. He wasn't just conditional with, he said, my love is here for you. All you need to do is just turn to me and follow me. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. These are probably familiar verses, and we can probably even maybe say them by memory. But it's a beautiful picture of what true love really is and how Jesus manifested that to us. It says, charity, verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And we could go on. Well, I picked out those several verses. Jesus showed us that true love never gives up. And it keeps loving through every situation. We see that there in verse 4. Charity suffereth long. Love endures and then endures. And it keeps going on. It doesn't give up. Jesus had every right to give up on each of us, did he not? He says, because of how God hates sin, because of the plan that Jesus has made for us, by our failings, he could have gave up on us, but he didn't. His love kept going on and kept calling us back, and kept bringing us back to himself. How are we with his love? He shed his love abroad into our hearts. Are we doing the same? Are we just extending that love out? So often, we as people put caps on our love to others. I'll love you this far. I'll love you maybe through this situation, but not that situation. Or after a while, we might say, you know what? It went long enough. My love's dead. It's gone. But Jesus didn't do that. When he came to this earth, right from the very start, he said, my love is here for you, and it's calling you. My love has no end. Also, Jesus represented true love, and by giving to others, he just gave to others, for others. And we see that there in verse 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It's just in giving out to others. I'm not sure what, I didn't quite blend together as I'm reading it here again. True love is giving to others and for others. Well, anyways, still, that's how true love is. It's giving to others. It says, my love is here for you, but it's also for your benefit. It's for your good. We not only give to be kind, but we also give for other people's benefits. True love assumes the best and sees the best in others. And we can see that in verse 5 and in verse 7. True love, if we have true love for others, we're not going around thinking evil of others. We will think the best of others and knowing that God can change each life. It's seeing the best in others. When we look at others, we love them and we say, I see that God has a plan for your life. Also in verse 5 and 7, true love is patient and kind. It's not demanding or proud. And back in verse 6, it says, true love rejoices when truth comes out. What do we rejoice in? What we can get away with? Or do we rejoice in that, you know what? Truth is truth and it will come out and truth will stand. So in closing, this week, as we celebrate Christmas, as we celebrate Jesus, may He manifest and reveal Himself to us in a personal way this week. We can walk around, we can say, yeah, I know Jesus. I know what He's done. And yeah, I know that we love each other. And I know that He is here for relationship. But do we know and have we experienced His love in our hearts? That makes all the difference. To go from here to here makes all the difference on how we relate, how we interact. Reveal Himself to us that He is God, but He is the Father, that He is here to serve so that we can serve, that He is love so that we can love each other. God bless you. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we just come before you here now at the close of the message. Pray, Father, that you would take the words that were spoken and you would just apply them to our hearts. May you open our eyes to who you are. May we learn to know you even this coming week, but in each day that you give us, learn in a better and deeper way who you are. Manifest yourself to us, Heavenly Father. And so we can see you and know you as our Father. We can see and know you, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. So we can know you, Holy Spirit, as you live and move and speak the words of God to us in our hearts. I pray you will bless each one here. And may you lead out and anoint the rest of the service as we study history here a little bit later and realize the blessing that those people passed down to us today. Because they were true and faithful to you. May we also learn how to live our lives today in better service for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.